How's it going, folks? Blind Bargains Cast 168, middle of December 2018. We have two more regular shows, Joe.
Two more.
Ooh. And then end of year and outtakes. And I think we're actually going to record the end of year show before the end of the year this year.
That is unique that's compared to the 13 months of a system technology wrap-up show that we did at the beginning of 2018.
So this will be the best of the last 11 months.
This is maybe the first time I think we've ever done two assistive technology wrap-up shows in the same year. This is an extremely weird thing to do. Hey, JJ, you know what's also really weird that I think is just kind of crazy is that people use Instagram, like starting to use it a lot.
Wow, yeah, that's true. You know, there's a lot going on. We talked about this last week with the alt tags, but there's a lot more going on with Instagram accessibility. We'll have Jessie Beach coming on. She's with accessibility and engineer for Instagram to talk much more about that a little later in the show. So stay tuned for that, as well as other crazy stuff. You and Alex pretty much dominated my Twitter feed. I'll have to explain.
There was a lot of talk about home theater audio, which you have to admit is a welcome change compared to all the sci-fi and comic book stuff that I normally talk about. So
that is true. We also have a sponsor this week. We are sponsored by Envision AI. And hey, I'm going to attempt a live demo. They're letting me do this. So we'll see what happens.
Patrick and Nonet. This could be interesting. Hey, I believe that wonderful promotion is still going on for the month of December.
30% off any plan. So I was just looking at this. You can do it on the monthly plan, so it's good for your first month. The yearly plan, so it's good for the first year. Or the lifetime plan, which is good for your first, which is good for your life. Letsenvision.com is the web URL for that. And of course, you can find Envision AI on iOS or Android, and we will live demo it up a little bit later in the show.
That is amazing. And I think Android is an amazing operating system. I don't think we say that enough on this we may do that on occasion. We get accused of doing that. But you have to think about what Android has wrought, and that would possibly be, I know this is hard for some people to believe, it would be the Fire OS and the Amazon Echo. Both of those were kind of forked away from Android projects and the Android open source project, AOSP. And the thing that I am really impressed with about Amazon is that they've found ways to put just about anything as an Echo skill. I mean, there are Echo skills out there for talking Bibles, for, you know, text adventures, but there aren't a lot of things that can help you get work done or keep you up to date the same way that NFB Newsline can. That's right, the NFB Newsline skill is now available for your Amazon Echo.
Wow, that was a reach segue if I ever heard one in my life.
I'm actually tired just trying to pedal my way to the news story.
But this was announced a bit ago at the 2017 convention in July. So it took a minute for this to get going. It's not as easy just to create a skill. Most of your simple skills are like, you know, I'm going to ask a question. It's going to provide an answer or a little game. There's a lot that goes into Newsline. And to create even parts of it, you know, the phone interface or the app interface on scale, probably not the easiest thing in the world. Eh?
And to make it work for people who may not work well with, say, a touch device, some Amazon skills and the like, required you to use the Amazon skills app and do a lot of crazy fumbling around. Well, for some people, they're not really comfortable doing that. So you can actually do some of that sign up process through the Echo itself, which is kind of crazy. I've talked to Scott White a little bit about this, and there's a lot that they had to do in order to get that up and running. And hopefully we'll get Scott on the program to talk a little bit about that, maybe a little closer to ATIA. But in the meantime,
the invocation you were saying, even trying to figure out what's the best way to get people to activate it and have it work consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some limitations in how you actually activate a skill. And Scott was informing me about some of the alternate phrases that they tried before they settled on the skill, which would be the A-Lady. And then you would say Open National Federation, and that would take you over to the Newsline.
Yeah, that's an interesting, I mean, that wouldn't have been my first or second choice either. But, you know, when you're dealing with letters, as I'm guessing they tried, it can be very similar sounding things, right? And so it's a little wordy, but, you know, hey, once you're into the skill, then you can play with it. Right now, it's very, like he said, it's available now. Hey, one customer review, 5 stars. Wait, was that
there
Scott?
There you go.
Oh.
Probably. No, that would. Oh.
Somebody in the building.
You said three little letters, and three little letters brings us to our next story with APH. Nearby Explorer has seen a recent update on iOS that starts to have you lean towards OpenStreetMap a bit more, because as you remember from earlier this year, if you've been listening to this program, the ability to use some of the Google services, especially the higher maps APIs, have become very difficult for some vendors to be able to get a hold of because they cost a lot of money. And so many new features are coming to a more customizable framework, and that would be OpenStreetMaps. And there's also some other changes within this too, like working some of the voices.
So there's some good and bad here, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Some of this was already on the Android app, so we kind of keep going back and forth. And I know they're trying to kind of do these in parallel. OpenStreetMap, they managed to get, and I'm not sure if APH did or how this happened, but there are features, there's added parts to a point now, one called blind description, or another one that's called description. These are on the Android app and the iPhone app now, which you could theoretically add additional accessibility information to a point, which is a really, really cool idea for certain things where it's maybe you're describing a bus stop and you can describe what type of a bus stop
training,
you
know, this would be or fantastic. A shelter,
things like that. And it's OpenStreetMap, meaning it's open. That's really good, except it's open, meaning, you know, Google has lots and lots and lots of users, right? So when a new business comes out or opens up or one closes, usually somebody pretty quickly will flag that, right? You know, not as many users for OpenStreetMap. So you were saying you were finding a lot of dead businesses.
I was finding a lot of things that I knew just in my 4 years of living here in Charlotte that were already closed.
Yep.
And I, you know, was kind of surprised because it was like, you know, this business is, you know, 30 feet away. No, that business is now that used to be a Japanese steakhouse. It's now a diner that serves not Japanese union, steaks.
Payday loan.
Yeah, exactly. I do.
One of those things.
So that's kind of the downside. And,
but Google Places is still there. You can still use it.
Right. But I mean, this comes back to maybe something we'll touch on at the end of the year, which is we're looking at mainstream solutions in a lot of areas, but now it's coming down to the apps that we used to use kind of by reflex on notice with just using like Nearby or say Sendero or other things. I mean, all of these tools that we were used to using are kind of disappearing or modifying in a way.
A lot of them also use paid services. So the Google services that, you know, mapping services are generally a paid service. A lot of maps use them or rely on them. You know, the
TomTom too.
You know, the same thing with the image recognition databases that a lot of them are using. So, you know, these are paid services. That's why in large part you end up paying for a service like Envision AI or others, because, well, you know, these things are not free. So as these evolve over time, you kind of have to start figuring, okay, is this the best use of dollars to pay for this maps? You know, I definitely think that Google Places is far superior to OpenStreetMap at the moment, but hey, with things like description, blind description, that's an interesting little wrinkle that Google does not currently have. So, you know, maybe there are certain situations as, you know, these things evolve, we can provide more information. You know, it'd be definitely interesting to see where this one goes.
I wonder if it might be covered in a textbook one day. I'm throwing Jay a curveball in the news lineup because we mentioned APH just a moment ago with Nearby Explorer. APH also is one of the places you turn to for textbooks.
That's true. I'm trying. Are you skipping down here and then coming back up there? Is that
what? Yeah. Totally.
Oh, I see. Yeah. This is a low vision story, Joe. See you.
Is it? Oh, you added, so I'm catching up here.
Okay. Well, this is APH. If you were APH is one of the largest providers of textbooks, and I'm pulling this up because there's two names for low vision textbooks. I'm blind, so I've never had to deal with this. So maybe you have. I got a post here from Fred's Head. There is a traditional, well, they call it that. It's actually called traditional enlargement. So maybe you had this when you were in school. The former way of producing books in large print was to take the 8.5 by 11, enlarge it to 11 by 14, and that
this
was it.
True.
You would keep whatever fonts they were using. You would keep whatever images, but it might distort the images, et cetera, and mess things up.
Or they would just be black and white.
That makes sense. That's going away. Replaced by APH large print, which gives you 8.5 by 11 volumes So you actually might have multiple volumes like a blind person would, but with much more limited fonts, much better image recognition. So essentially, you know, kind of the formatting that you would get in Braille. Right, the formatting you would get for Braille, the same thing in large print. So everything old is getting phased out. So as a low vision person, this may excite you. I mean, obviously you're not in school anymore.
Believe it or not, in a way it does, because you couldn't put them in like book bags. Like, have you ever had like the band was selling candy and another organization would sell things, or you get Schoolastic to come in and sell you book bags and stuff. I actually had a Superman book bag, not because I was really into Superman. It was big enough to fit my large print books. I could actually put them in.
11 by 14 is not small. That's bigger than large Braille paper, which is 11 by 11.
It was very much like carrying stone tablets. And there was not a lot of style to them. So it was like a gray binder or a tan binder, and in large print and black letters was mathematics or Texas history or something like that. And if you had them inverted, I saw a couple of them where it was white text on a black background.
Dark mode.
You would walk away. Yes. You would walk away with like, you had been fingerprinted. And you could always tell if somebody used like a dome magnifier versus like they got their nose up really close to read the text, because they would be Rudolph the black-nosed reindeer, because all the print would come off on their nose from reading it so close. It was like, oh, you've been reading your large print books. How do you know? Well, there's some signs. So there were always some weird ways. And as long as you can kind of sort of keep the page number structure, that's where I'm more concerned, right? Because if go to page 150 in your textbook, that was always hard, because you had to, I didn't bring volume 3 with me today because it was so large, and they tried to represent the pages accurately so you could go to the same page as your schoolmate next to you. So, but I'm curious to see how this goes, because anything that makes you feel more a part of the class experience and you're not using something that's too specialized, then awesome.
Well, there's a lot of new things that are coming out, a lot of large releases, including 2018.4 for NVDA, pretty much imminent, and maybe out by the time this podcast reaches you, smiley face.
If the track record holds, yes, it will come out the day that we upload this particular
slightly smiling face or one of those things. Oh, yeah, you can read those now. We've played with this a little bit. The emoji picker, we were playing with that before, I believe, in the early betas. Right? We recorded that on the podcast. Right? I know we talked about it.
I know we've talked about emojis just a few times.
Exactly. Yes. And now that is official, 2018.4. And I mentioned this before. So they're pulling directly from the database or the clearinghouse that does emojis and the names for them. So meaning two things. One, you get translations for your language. And two, as new ones come out, you don't have to wait for NVDA to add them. So that makes a lot of these things, like the Windows 10 emoji picker, which you can access by pressing Windows period on an edit box. That works a lot better. That isn't the only thing new. Sometimes it's little things like the replied and forwarded status in Outlook that works now in 2018.4. You know, that's a very minor thing unless you use Outlook.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. Unless you live in Outlook. Right. Exactly.
New Braille tables for Chinese and other languages. Have you ever tried Foxit PDF Reader?
I am aware of it, but I've never used it.
I haven't either. It's an alternative to Adobe. Apparently supposed to be lighter, quicker. Well, you could try that now with NVDA. And let us know how it works, because they've added support for that in this release. So, like I said, the release candidate is out, which essentially is the final version unless they find something major. So either that's out now or 2018.4 is out by the time you get this, and you can get the latest in the NVDA. Of course, don't forget to donate if you haven't in a while and if you're able to, because it certainly does help with the development of NVDA, the free screen reader.
Agreed. And one of the things that we always talk about, as you've heard just a moment ago about living in Outlook, is will it work with Office, Office 2019, Office 365, all of these offices with crazy numbers on the back of them. Some of the things that we don't talk about on this particular program, because Microsoft puts out so much information. You can just follow them over at MSFT Enable on Twitter, because you will get a lot in your tweet feed if you do. And that's where this story comes from. The Microsoft team is going to do accessibility webinars. They've got a lot to talk about, not just in the Office ribbon with PowerPoint and closed captioning coming over to PowerPoint, but also Skype. There's been a lot of cognitive changes made as well. So they've got a lot of things to talk about this year, and they're going to kind of condense them down into monthly webinars and focus on a subject and go through those. And like the ribbon, that's a perfect example of what they're going to kind of discuss.
This may surprise you, but obviously with all the improvements, maybe not. So I kind of have my order of operations, if you will. If I try out a web page, I'll usually start with Chrome NVDA, sometimes Firefox. If it doesn't work, then I'll go to the other one, Firefox or Chrome. If it didn't work after that, my next would have been, let's go to Internet Explorer. Well, that thing is kind of old and slow. And so my now third choice, and actually it's almost pulled through a couple of times and gotten a lot better, is Edge Narrator. You know, with the new scan mode, with, you know, the various things, it's not that bad of an experience. It's gotten a lot more stable, as much as I, you know, wow, I'm actually saying this on a podcast that, yes, I have used Edge to do productivity tests. You know, it's come a long way.
Did you switch over to the GW Micro inspired keyboard layout? Or did you stay with Narrator keys?
Well, no, you're there by default unless you switch otherwise with the newer ones.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of a mishmash of like the best of GW Micro, Window Eyes, and JAWS, and a little bit of NVDA kind of all over the place. And, you know, a lot of the keys you're used to, and they even some of them give you choices like, oh, you can use this new one, or yeah, you can use the old one too. We don't care, whatever works for you.
Exactly.
You know, so
pliable and open. And that's the kind of thing that people forget about with Microsoft. They are not the same company they were years ago. And the amount of innovation and accessibility coming out of this company is just crazy. And that's why I check the MSFT-enabled Twitter almost like each day, if not every couple of days, because there's so much that's going on with the what's coming out of there. So definitely head on over and check this out. The webinars start in January, and webinars that started in September, well, Hadley, Tech It Out, they had their December episode, and it was all about assistance.
Oh, that's not a topic Echo. That's ever been discussed. Hey, there's always, you could do a new one of those every month with so many.
Siri. Yeah, actually. Absolutely. If you read Top Tech Tidbits, there was a link there for like 142 Siri commands. I was like, I will never make it.
Did Ricky come up with the name Tech It Out?
No, that was the team. The team over at Hadley had Tech It Out.
It's already to give her credit for that. But she does host it, and you can.
She does.
You can get these things live. Once a month?
These things are done live in Zoom, and then they are archived.
Or on the phone, even. You don't have to do Zoom. You call in if you wanted this, you know, that's true. Old school, and you know, I don't want to deal with technology, although I think Zoom is pretty simple to use, except when you don't hit the right recording button. Sorry, Patrick.
yes. Yeah. And you can even use it on iOS and other things, you know, so definitely there. But you'd check that out. That's over at the Hadley YouTube channel.
You know what January is yet? Can you tell? Is that a secret?
I do, but I'm sworn to secrecy by my fiancé.
You can tweet Ricky Anger.
Definitely. Maybe she'll follow her at Ricky_Anger. Yep, there you go. December Access World. You know, you mentioned this not too long ago in reference to your NVIDIA Shield demo.
There it
is. So now it's out in print in black and white in dots of braille.
There it is. Yes, the NVIDIA Shield. Did this a couple of podcasts ago, 166. And, you know, some of you might prefer to read about it. And I mentioned some things there that I didn't do here. That's an Android TV box. You can go back to episode 166 to hear it. You can go to AFB's Access World to read about it. Among other things, the new JAWS licensing here. What else we got here? Holiday gift guide from Deborah Kendrick. From Deborah, the Able accounts. That's one of those things that doesn't get talked about a lot, but can be a lot of use to people that are on SSI or SSDI. Way to kind of save up money to get some of that technology. So some always useful stuff. And an Insignia Smart TV article.
Oh, the one with Amazon Talkie Fire Echo-y things?
The Insignia Smart TV Smart TV Fire TV Edition.
Those have been on sale often in the Best Buy doorbusters.
You know what else was on sale today or yesterday on Slick Deals? The Insignia Google Home thing, now down to $20.
Oh, dude, $19? Yes. The one I bought for Kyle?
$20.
I was like, look,
retail,
it's
$150.
$80
never
off,
been $150, but it was definitely even cheaper.
No.
Amazing.
No. Well, the battery-operated one was. The one that had like a five-hour battery charge. Mm-hmm. And they actually will pair now. So if you bought two of those At $19, you can actually pair them. In a recent update with Google Home, I saw that you could actually pair the Insignia Google Home knockoffs. And they're pretty loud, as I can tell, because he sets it for school in the morning to wake up. So I know they work extremely well. But yeah, nice little box.
Well, I have an Echo Dot, you know, the new one, which is supposed to be louder. I'm going to have it hooked it up yet, but I'll plug it in and let you guys know next week how that goes.
I love that tweet I retweeted by someone in the tech community that said, Apple Music coming to Echo Dot. Great music on a 1-inch speaker. Yay.
Hey, it's still it's way cheaper than the HomePod. About yes, 1/10 the cost of the HomePod. Well, hey, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, you could get the Envision AI app. And I think you should, because it does a lot of really cool stuff. Now, you can, of course, do short text, and you can do OCR, you can do barcodes, and you can recognize images. And, you know, there's several apps that do this, but I kind of like some of the things that Envision AI does, because not only will it recognize the image, it will do the image and the text in the same page. You don't have to go to two different things to say, hey, recognize this image, and then go somewhere else and say, hey, recognize the text of the image that I just recognized. So, live demo. Let's try this. These never go wrong.
Here we go. Yeah. He's going to pull out the donut burger and see how that goes.
Hey, this, I got a method. This actually came in. Double tap and hold to long press. I'm on my Android. You can do this on the iPhone, too. This came in from Karthik from Envision. He sent me a couple images on WhatsApp. Hey, so I'm on Android. I can just go and share them. And for iPhone, you do the same thing. You kind of go through the share sheet. You can recognize images this way. Of course, you can take a picture of one, too, and it'll tell you the scene. But let's just try one of these here.
423, unlabeled button, 62 kilobytes button.
Unlabeled button. That's Android WhatsApp. That's not Envision AI. Open button. Here, we'll hit open here.
Double tap. WhatsApp. Multi-page view.
And
slide with two fingers. More option. Forward. Star. Plus. Navigate up button. Multi.
There we go. We'll go to more options, and we're going to go to share.
Delete, rotate, view in gallery, use as wall, set as group, set as my, share.
And the reason I'm going to do that is we're going to pick up Envision AI. Share with.
Envision AI, Slack,
WhatsApp. Ah, there we go. Slack, should I put it on Slack, Joe?
Hashtag, WhatsApp.
No, WhatsApp. I'm good. I mean, unless you want to do it over here. But yeah, no, I'm good.
Envision AI.
Double tap to activate, double tap and hold to long press.
We'll send this here.
Envision AI, navigate up button.
And
double tap to activate.
Let's see what we have here.
Description. Looks like Liam Neeson talking on a cell phone.
Now we can go below. So there's the description. And let's go below this here.
If there is chocolate in the house, I will find it and I will eat it.
It's a meme.
It is.
Yep.
Have you seen that meme?
It's a unique set of skills from the movies Taken. The Taken series.
Ah, see, there you go. You know, but if you were to just run that through another image recognition thing, you know, you might get the description, but having the image and the text together, you can understand the meme a lot more. Now, of course, you still need to know what the movie reference, but if you understand that, you know, it kind of put...
If you want to have some fun, type in Seth MacFarlane Kermit Taken. He actually does the Taken, famous scene as Kermit the Frog. And it's great. Totally fine.
Really cool stuff, though.
I will find you. And like we said, you can actually get this for 30% off during the month of December 2018.
That's right. So you can go to Let's Envision AI to learn more or get the apps, iOS and Android. Android is still in beta, so actually it's free for the moment on Android, so you can just kind of play with it. iOS, you can get the plans. Like I said, 1 month, 1 year, or lifetime, 30% off. Whatever you choose. So if you take 30% off lifetime, you are cutting quite a bit off that cost. You will never have to pay for the thing again. You get that feature. You'll get the short text. You'll get the OCR. You'll get the barcodes. Barcode things is really cool as well.
And lots of updates.
Yes.
In fact, there's been, I think, two updates already this month. So that is something that you can look forward to with Envision AI is that you're going to get updates. And that gives you so much more power to what you can do with the app. Give it a spin.
It's really cool. They've been putting a lot of effort into it and trying to differentiate it from the other options out there. So I think it's a really cool tool. The 30% on the monthly plan makes it for that first month only $3.49. So that's really cool. And you can get a trial as well and play with it as well. So again, let's envision.com. It's LetsEnvision.com or search for Envision AI on the iTunes App Store or Google Play. And we thank Envision AI for sponsoring us this week.
And you can certainly play with Instagram pictures. We mentioned those memes a second ago. There are a lot of them on Instagram. You could throw those in the share sheet. share sheet and see what happens on the seashore with Sally. Sally at the seashore with the share sheet. Oh no, I'm making
oh man, podcast this is like me. I was having trouble when I recorded this interview that you're about to hear from Jesse. Jesse's title is engineering manager, accessibility engineering team, and I'm probably at 4 or 5 different takes. I think I deleted those when I was trying to introduce her for that. But
almost herbal essence all over again. God. Yeah, here we go.
Let's bring on Jesse. Talk about Instagram alt tags, much more than just alt tags though. Has a lot of really cool visions for what Instagram might become in the near future and why you might want to try it out. So let's bring on Jesse, and then we're gonna have Joel with a tip and much more Sound Off Last Word right here on BBQ 168.
168!
Welcome back to the Blind Bargains Cast. We're going to talk a little bit about social media. We know a lot of you probably have a Facebook account and use that at least on a somewhat regular basis. And many of you probably have a Twitter account or follow us at Twitter on Blind Bargains. I'm guessing not too many of you have an Instagram account. You might remember last week we were talking about the new Instagram feature where you can add alt text to images, which of course is one way to make the site much more accessible. There's a lot more going on though, and we'd love to talk about it. So we have brought on Jesse Beach, who is an engineering manager for the accessibility engineering team for Instagram. Jesse, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So like I said, not many people have on our site actually probably even use Instagram currently. So let's go back to the basics and tell our listeners even what Instagram is.
Sure. Like you mentioned, Jason, Instagram is a social network that's based primarily around images. I think it's a place that people love to go and share images they've taken from their lives, interesting moments, and that central point about it being based around image media is what really defines the service.
So you have you have posts, you have a feed, just like you would on Facebook or Twitter. You can have pictures or videos. You can add hashtags. Of course, you're left with a lot of unlabeled things until now, at least.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an exciting challenge for an engineer.
So that leads us to features for accessibility, starting with alt tags. Explain what you've done.
So we've kind of done two things. Like you mentioned, there's now the capability of adding alt text for an image that a human can write. We've also brought some technology that we introduced to Facebook over to Instagram. And what that is we use machine learning to understand concepts in an image. And then we just have a pretty simple template that takes those concepts and puts them in a sentence and then describes the image with that sentence. So what you end up with is, for pretty much every image on the site, a description, a basic description, and then the ability for a human to come in and provide a better description if they want to do that.
So is that just for new images that are uploaded, or is it also for existing images?
I believe the ML team has gone back and produced the tags for the images. We only use a subset of them. My team has put together confidence thresholds for the concepts that we want, and we've also elected a reduced set so we don't produce a description that's too verbose.
So that's an interesting approach. Facebook has image contains dog or things like that. You've kind of taken some of that but gone a little bit different direction as well. Is there a risk that you may be providing inaccurate information, or is it more like you'd rather be correct than wrong?
Exactly. We'd rather that we have a really high confidence that we've identified something correctly in a photo than just provide sort of a bag of words. That's a legitimate approach, and I think some other services take that approach. But for us, we're balancing quality over quantity, and we're trying to land in qualities, more than quantity.
So also people can upload images and add their own alt text. How does that work?
So that process is built into the image editing on Instagram. If you view an image, there's an option to edit that image, and under advanced settings, there's a text box where an alternative description can be added.
So that seems a little buried or under the advanced menu. How front and center do you feel that is?
It's prominent in the sense that there are other features that are available under that advanced setting, and it's about 2 clicks away from viewing the image.
So the alt text is visible after it's been submitted. Is it easy for someone to tell if the text was user-generated?
So our automatic descriptions will always begin with image may contain.
Okay, sure. People aren't going to write that. They're going to write a more detailed description. They're not going to put image contains dog. What if I come to an image where I want more detail, especially if, say, there's an image of text? Is there a way that I could contact the creator of that image and ask them to describe something?
There's no formal way of doing that. But the nice part about a social network is, you know, you can use your network and your friends to call in those.
So that transitions us nicely. Alt text is a nice feature to have. What other work is being done on the accessibility on the website in general?
I think this really gets back to the mission of my team. We exist, and the reason I joined Facebook was to make it possible for anyone to access information on Facebook, on Instagram. And my team is really sort of an infrastructure team. We build tools, we build capabilities. Moving forward, we'll probably take a stance that is more in line with that direction. Every once in a while, my team will step forward and do something that feels a bit more product-y, that can be experienced as like a holistic unit on the service. But for the most part, we are in the background working on components, working on tooling to make sure that product teams, as they're building, can build accessible experiences.
Which makes a lot more sense. If you're creating components that are accessible, they're kind of like building blocks. This will filter down all over the website or the app and lead to a more accessible experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's some pretty difficult and interesting problems at that level of the stack as well, which is where my interest lies.
So speaking of interesting and difficult problems, if you have a blind person that wants to become a curator, in other words, someone who creates content as opposed to just consuming it, have you thought about tools that could be used to help someone do that?
Do you have an example of something in mind?
Okay, for instance, if you were a blind person and uploaded an image and you wanted to be sure that the photo that you're uploading is accessible or actually what you thought it was, is there a way to determine that?
Yes. Yeah, we talk about these ideas all the time. One of the challenges we're facing right now is on the consumption side, if we describe something in an image and we say image may contain, let's say, dog, if that's actually a cat, there's not that much at stake there. But if you are posting an image, I think the threshold for accuracy becomes much higher. Because if we describe something in the image and you're making a decision whether or not to post it to the world based on our description, that to me feels like we need to be at a level of accuracy higher than we would accept for a consumption experience.
Yeah, that's really a good point. And maybe it's going to be one of those things where you have to do crowdsourced image description or things like that. Of course, you could do that now with some of the existing tools that are out there. But you want to make that figure that out. Are the tools accessible, though, to the point where a blind person could like find the button, upload the content, at least upload the images?
We have that in our sites. The way that we generally think about it is we want to make sure that consumption experiences are working well and are valuable. The production side gets much more complicated pretty quickly, and it's something that...
Not as easy to implement as the alt text.
Yeah, but I want to say in no certain terms that is exactly what my team is here to do, to make sure that these complex interactions are being built in a way that, you know, everything's labeled. And not just labeled, I think there's sort of a base level of mechanical accessibility that makes an experience possible. We want to make sure that that experience is delightful. So what we're really focusing on is stepping back and thinking about the accessible user experience, or what we call AUX internally, so that we're not just saying like, yes, it's possible to, you know, use the camera, but it's going to take twice as long. I want someone to say it's possible and it was really fun to do it.
So the way your components are designed, do you guys share things across platforms between you and Facebook?
There's a bit of a barrier between the two services, just in terms of components, but also within products, we have a lot of different component libraries, a lot of experimentation. My team works at a level where we are influencing those groups that are building those components equally. So I don't think it really matters that there's sharing. We have testing approaches, and we have linting approaches that apply equally to a team on Instagram or Facebook.
Do you have a preference of platform, app, iOS, Android versus the website?
It's all equal. So I have engineers on my team for iOS, for Android, for web. And there's a lot of cross-learning too, because there are, you know, good things about each platform that can inform decisions we make on the other platforms.
So I know you might not be able to say much, NDAs and things like that, but we always ask the question, what's coming up in the future? What's the next plans for accessibility of Instagram?
I'm not sure that it would be like super thrilling for folks who aren't in infrastructure, but for those folks who are listening, awesome. So one of the things that really I think is important is to understand change over time in a component library. To understand, you know, if we fix a component, how do we know that that component is going to stay in that state or stay in that capacity over time? So we're working on ways of essentially taking snapshots of the accessibility tree that represents the state of a component next to the view tree. And I'm happy to explain any of these concepts after, if you want to get into a bit more detail. But essentially what's happening is the accessibility experience is represented in the code by this tree that represents the pieces of the component, you know, the input or maybe a button, it's pressed or unpressed state. What we want to understand is that that component is capable of representing all the states we need, and then understand if that capacity disappears or is removed in the future because of code changes. And if we can step in at the moment that that happens, we can undo the regression or stop it from happening in the first place. So it's a little deep in the stack, but we're really thinking, you know, how over time do we let product teams move quickly, but give them the confidence that they're doing so without affecting an experience that they may not be top of mind for them at the moment.
Sure. So to break that out for the non-techie of our listeners, pretty much it's not just as easy as saying we have this button that doesn't have a label. We need to add a text to it. Sometimes you have to dig deeper and get into the building blocks, the deeper, the core of the app, if you will. And the more accessible you make that, the more accessible the whole app will be.
Exactly. Yeah. The more we can just prevent decisions from being made that results in an accessible experience, the more we can focus on building really delightful and complex experiences because we're not, you know, spending our days chasing small issues.
So how long has your team been around?
I believe that my manager started the team in 2012. Okay. I joined the team in 2015.
So it took a little bit of time to get going, but now you are going, you're rolling, you have a lot of things ahead in the future.
Yeah, we've got a pretty exciting team of folks. This has been, accessibility has been my passion since around 2011. And I joined this team at Facebook specifically to work on accessibility at the scale of the world.
So I'm sure people appreciate that. That's very cool. If they have comments that they want to send, I know we have listeners that want to ask about accessibility or might have features or ideas for the future. What's the best way to contact accessibility at Instagram?
So facebook.com/accessibility is our general page, our portal, where we read messages, we read comments, and those feed into our project timelines and our planning. Our Twitter account, FB Access, is also a great way of getting in touch.
Great. Thank you so much. We really appreciate hearing that. Congratulations on the feature and wish you great success in the future.
Glad to hear that. Thank you, Jason.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast. Bargains Cast.
Bargains Cast. We have talked about Android and iOS a lot, and one of the things that I had to get used to when moving back over to iOS instead of Android as my daily driver was that I used to use my S5 with turning TalkBack off with the volume buttons, and then I would flip the home button 3 times to invert colors. And I kind of missed that ease of use because you can really only do a certain amount of shortcuts on iOS. Sweden. And you can only do a certain amount of things here, like
actions available.
You can only do a certain amount of things here with live demos. That's what I love about the show. So you can only do a certain amount of things in how you can do shortcuts, right? You know, you can also put stuff in the control center and swipe up from the bottom and get to that. Unless you're using VoiceOver, then you would, you know, find your top of where your clock is and then 3-finger swipe up, you know, like so.
9:05 PM. Control center.
Right, control center there, sure. And you would put some accessibility shortcuts there. Well, one of the things that I have recently come across in iOS is that I can actually go in and assign more actions to triple click home. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you go in there and you say, I want smart invert and voiceover, it will change your triple click home shortcut to ask. And ask means this.
Alert. Accessibility shortcuts. Selected. Smart invert. Button. Selected. Voiceover. Button. Cancel. Button.
So I have two there, and I can actually turn smart invert on and off now, or voiceover on and off now, in a little picker area, which is just awesome for me, all with accessibility shortcut triple click home. So I can get almost what I want on my S5 back on the iPhone.
Now, this I'm guessing makes the most sense for a low vision user, because a blind user with two, will it start speaking?
So if I come over here,
turn off voiceover.
VoiceOver.
Okay.
VoiceOver is gone. All right. But if I do this still, now it is brought up the picker, but you don't hear it because VoiceOver is not on.
So it would be a cool, if anyone, Apple people are listening, it would be a cool thing to have that screen speak. You know, if VoiceOver is one of the options. But
VoiceOver on, utilities folder, 14 apps.
And of course, if you do accidentally turn that off, you could always
do Siri.
You know, turn on and off with Siri.
Yep, right. You can do Siri as long as you have internet connection. And if you want to get to these settings, you can just ask Siri to open accessibility settings. I believe that should work. I know you can do open VoiceOver settings as well. Android has a similar thing under the accessibility menu as well.
Even if you were doing something like Zoom for your mom and handing it over to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have to keep going in there over and over again. Or
because you're not going to turn VoiceOver off as a blind person. Right. But you could add additional things.
No.
But you can add additional things like adding Zoom.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so, you know.
And if you don't turn your screen off, you may go to invert colors just to save battery life, not to have big white screens going all the time eating battery. And you can actually go in and say things like change the white point or go in and do different things.
You can put every single accessibility option on this list if you wanted to and have them all there.
That's kind of crazy. Overkill, but still, you can do it if that's what you want. And that's what VoiceOver is good for is, you know, if you ever go into the Apple Store and you hit triple click home and you wonder why VoiceOver isn't coming on, it may be because it's set to ask on the accessibility shortcut. That's pretty wild.
You can send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
You had mentioned that your Twitter feed had been taken over by a discussion between Alex Hall and myself because of something that had come out of the previous show. Alex had a bunch of questions about some of the formats that I didn't really talk about very much on the previous demo, nor did I talk too much about connections and how you could hook things up. There is a real reason for this. A, I'm not lazy. B, it gets complicated. Really?
It'd be its own show, right?
Pretty much. I found a clip on YouTube that explains this, but it too, from a guy who's really concise, took about 8-9 minutes to kind of work your way through some of the high level stuff towards the end about, you know, what is 7.1 and what is 7.2. That's right, two subwoofers. And also Dolby Atmos uses speaker that sits in the ceiling, or some sound bars will actually use reflective surfaces. They'll project up to the ceiling. And that's really to give you an idea about, like, you know, there's a plane flying and you actually hear it above and below you. It gets really complicated, like I said, about speaker placement and how you're going to do all of that. It's not something that's for those who are not intimidated by wires and speakers to jump into very easily. It is more expensive, too, once when you start looking at larger speakers and formats. And also, in this video that I have a link to in the show notes over at blindbargains.com, you can hear a little bit more about how the connections work. What is a toss link? Why is there RCA and, you know, analog? And the one that I really didn't want to talk about, he does, which is HDMI audio, and that some Blu-ray players have two HDMI audio outputs because they go directly into the television or directly into your AV receiver. So this answered a lot of questions for Alex. I also gave him a link to a 5.1 Atmos, there we go, soundbar. Just to kind of soar to, you know, after you see this, then you get to hear it in its terminology natively, because Digital Trends didn't hold back in this review. They were just letting the terminology fly. So I'll put both links in the show notes so you can get an idea of what some of this is.
Third.
Again, if okay.
Which is related, but not. I'm not sure if you want to finish your thought first before I send you down this.
Okay. I was just going to say that it is one of those things that's fun to do, and it's great to go into a home theater store with the idea that you're not going to buy anything. just go for fun and experience some of this. Decide if you even want to go down this road, because it is very addictive. And I was very, very lucky in life that most of my hobbies turned into jobs. I got paid to sit on my butt, watch movies, then come back and try to recreate the movie experience in the store. So I got a great opportunity to do this for a couple of years, and it was a lot of fun. But I admit, after hooking up a home theater that was about $132,000, again, it's not for the faint of heart.
So
it wasn't my money either.
I'm going to take this a slightly different direction just to confuse things even more, but just let people know what's possible. Okay. I don't have a TV nor a soundbar, but I wanted to review this NVIDIA Shield and actually some other stuff. I had a Fire TV around here and some other stuff, and I wanted to use these things, right? But they have HDMI outs. They don't have headphone outs or audio outs. And
no, very few 3.5s.
I found, and these are not all created equal, so I'll link to the one that I'm using, what is essentially an HDMI audio converter. It's what it is. You plug in the HDMI in one side of the box, and then the other side, you get a couple RCA, old school RCA cables, and then an HDMI video out. So it's an HDMI audio extractor. And then what you can do is you can take those RCA cables, you know, from those, you can plug into a stereo or, you know, a mixer, whatever else you have that's audio. So if you're one of those people that's like, I just don't want anything video, I don't care about the sight of people at all, or you just want to test things out or play with things, this is an option, about $20-25, and which is kind of about as much as it costs as the Fire TV stick. But hey, you can do that, and I have successfully, that's how I had the NVIDIA Shield coming in a couple weeks ago, through that, and plugged into my mixer.
What a great cord cutter decision. If you wanted to get one of those digital antennas, you know, for just television signals, you know, like maybe your local television station has buzzer, on one of the 0.5s or something like that.
You can watch that on Pluto now.
You could, yeah, that's true. That is something that you could definitely find and, you know, just pay the money for the splitter and the box and pick up your local television.
Link in the show notes and put it there. And I'll try to remember to send you that link to put in the show notes.
That would be helpful. That's
always the deal with these things, right? So
the other thing that we have to sometimes exchange in Slack or other places about show notes is the last word, because sometimes I have one and sometimes Jay has one, but I don't have it in the show notes, so I have to go track it down, and keen listeners will sometimes pick up that I didn't have it, because the story that JJ talked about isn't necessarily the one that gets linked to in the show notes. That's happened on one or two occasions.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
But the flavor is there. The flavor of the story is there. I tried to capture the flavor.
Well, these two have something in common. Your story and my story, which is not my story.
Okay.
But listeners submitted, so maybe you saw it in the feedback box.
Oh, okay. I am grossed out by my story, and that's why it's here.
I'm willing to try this
story from
Lifehacker, Donut Burger,
which is the case for salting your ice cream.
Now, apparently, this is not all flavors. So, I guess it's okay. Peanut butter ice cream, chocolate ice cream. There's already salt in peanut butter.
All right.
There's already some salt. I mean, it's baked in. So, yeah,
there's already salt in salted
when
caramel.
You look at Donut Burger, the donut and the burger kind of end up blending into each other. They're not separate entities. When you have peanut butter and jelly, they blend into each other. So this article contends that, hey, you take salt, put it on ice cream. They always salt their ice cream. You have salted caramel. And people like that already, you know. So why not salted?
Salted strawberry sounds really weird.
Well, that's why they mentioned. Did you read the article, Joe?
Yeah, I did. I did, but that's why I brought it back.
That's what anything but chocolate, caramel, peanut butter, according to this post. Right. Not straw, so probably not so much the fruit ones. Probably more the...
No, I wouldn't think that would work. Lime sherbet with salt.
Yeah, no, stick...
Well, wait, that might be a margarita. Okay, all right. I might be wrong with that one.
You try more ice cream flavors than I do. So, you know, come on now.
That is true. Mint chocolate chip upstairs, because all the candy cane ice cream was... God, man, Publix has a candy cane peppermint stick ice cream.
But do.
So the holidays.
But do they have a bacon vending machine?
I want our good friend Pete Bosley to report back on this.
Yes, please.
Because
this is in Columbus.
I saw
at
this.
The Ohio State University. I'm never setting foot in that.
The Ohio State University.
I even said that for them, correct. But I will not go there. because it's in Ohio and I'm in Michigan.
Well, yes, Michigan. No, I can understand we'll not how you feel this, that way.
Now, this comes from Gizmodo. This is a story. Yes, there is a bacon vending machine. Now, that's not the weirdest thing ever, because you can get pre-cooked bacon. It exists in the world. I don't think it's as good as...
Somebody, I think, said that they used it with Ira already, who was going on campus.
The bacon vending machine? I want that clip.
I saw it in a tweet.
I love that clip.
Yeah, me too. I want a firsthand. That's why I keep saying former host Triple Click Home Pete Bosley. I want Pete. That's his university. I want Pete to tell me how it's there. Maybe Katie Frederick can.
Apparently, only going to be there for a little longer, and then they don't know where it's going to go.
It's a traveling
bacon
machine. That's it. The bacon moving out. Sorry.
There's a food truck in mid-Michigan called Makin' Bacon, which I think is a great name for a food truck. And
do they do pancakes?
Anything.
Bacon pancakes?
I don't know if they have for breakfast, probably. I mean, they do anything with bacon, which these days is anything. It could pretty much be whatever.
It's another meme. I just did another meme. Sorry. Making bacon.
Well, I guess pancakes. You could use
ding, fries are done.
Oh yes, that I remember. Hey, maybe you could use maybe you could use Envision AI to recognize that one as well. And
absolutely,
it might work.
Get some object recognition as well to tell you what food was there in the bacon. God, that just makes me think Baconator.
Hey, I got the looks like a donut on a plate when I posted my donut burger photo up online. Like, yeah, that's actually pretty accurate. So, I use these apps all the time.
Looks like you'll be up regretting your life choices tonight about midnight. That's what Envision AI can do. It can tell you about good choices, bad choices, yes. Things that you can actually scan and see and read. And right now, 30% off for the month of December 2018.
Yes, go get the Envision AI app for iOS and Android, or visit letsenvision.com to learn more information. I do that a lot. I think I've mentioned this before, if I'm posting a photo on Facebook or, hey, maybe now Instagram, I will use an app like Envision AI to say, hey, what do you think this picture is? And if it says what I thought I took a picture of, like, okay, I think I'm on the right track. I can post this, So it's really cool for stuff like that.
And thanks, Jesse, for stopping by and talking about the things that are going on over at Instagram.
Sounds like a lot going on. A lot of plans in the future.
Way to do image description.
Yes. Image may contain progress.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Show title.
Yes.
Done. I'm over.
Yeah, that was easy.
I'm totally with this. Yep. You've done it twice, 2 weeks in a row, donuts and now this.
That's true.
Totally cool.
Thanks, Patrick, so much for making us sound better. We really do appreciate that. You can send nice notes to him or anyone else. You can write us on Twitter, at Blind Bargains on Twitter. You can email feedback@blindbargains.com for anything else you want to say about this show. What do you think was the big story of 2018? We will talk about it. I guess we're not doing a top 10 this year. We're just going to do a nice hour of talking. That really sells it, right?
Yes. We never do that on the show. We just don't talk enough. I don't understand. 4 years ago, we said, hey, let's make a show about talking. Seinfeld made a show about nothing. We're going to make a show about talking. And you can find out a lot of nothing by following me over at Twitter. That's twitter.com/RangerStation, where Jay, I know this is going to break your heart, but there's only one episode of Doctor Who in 2019, and it's on New Year's Day, and then there won't be any new Doctor Who until 2020.
Does that mean you won't have to talk about it?
I'm heartbroken. Both my hearts are breaking. Well, I can always talk about Big Finish. Yeah, I guess. We'll talk about Star Trek and how it's not audio described. I'll just move on to disgruntled science fiction guy over here.
One more for 2018 and then the regulars. And then we got the outtake show and the end of year show. I don't know which order that's going to come in yet, but just stay tuned. But we have, I think we have an interview lined up for next week. I'm not sure if, I think we might be getting Steve.
And I think you drew the short straw and you go to Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we discussed? Yes.
Hey, would you please let me go to Orlando for Access World? And Lee is like, okay, fine. So, yes, we'll be doing a little bit of ATIA coverage. So, in the event there's something new that happens.
We'll drive by Googling where he turns everything to our podcast.
We'll see if something new happens in Florida. If it does, we'll be there for it. If it doesn't, I'll be in the pool. But either way, I'll probably be
there. There you go. Looking for the bird.
Yeah, I don't know where that...
Yeah, where is he? It's not there. Look, everybody, we are going to ski daddle. And if you like more of this nonsense, go ahead and follow us on Twitter. Until then, we will see you for 169 in one feral week. And then the fun really begins. I mean, vacation after this year in 18.
Bye-bye.
Two in a row.
See ya.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.
All we need to do is make sure we keep